Hello, grandkids! If you like this show, you get to listen to it twice this week.
Yeah, it's kind of like an emergency meeting of sorts, I guess. There's just a number of
This is
current
more like
topics.
a getting back on track. I don't know what it was, even though you tried to put us in a dark area this past Sunday, still a daytime show.
That's true.
So
Not
it's still a little
so
weird.
this time.
Nope. Definitely an evening show tonight. Well, I mean, it could be any time. I could say anything. This is recorded, but
Right. I mean, you guys are just going to have to sort of take our word for it, I guess, that we're not trying to pull a fast one and trick you guys. It really is a nighttime recording.
yeah, and I mean, we could say part of the reason for the as you called it, emergency session, Ken. Was the death of Christopher Lee.
I was always a fan of his, and I remember that he did have his birthday fairly recently, and hearing that he was 93 years old, or he turned 93, and I thought that was pretty impressive to get to that age. And then I kind of thought, well, we're probably not going to see him in any more movies, I guess. And
Oh. No, it was something. It was something that the lady mentioned during dinner this evening that I wanted to look up here. I'm sorry that I interrupted your train
Oh,
of thought there.
no, you acted like it had stopped recording or something, and we were going to have to like start over again.
Nope.
So
Nope.
that's quite all right. I'm glad to hear it wasn't that. I would hate to have people miss out on some of those great opening comments that we had.
Okay. Well, we're not sure if TNT decided to air the Fellowship of the Ring in honor of Sir Christopher Lee.
Oh yes, that is playing right now. So that's I guess is that proof that we're really not lying? I mean, people could check the listings and then see what time it was on.
Yeah, this is
Oh, I guess
true.
we could be lying about this too, though. Oh,
You'll just have to believe us,
it's a real
people.
tangled web. I don't know.
The tangled web that we leave.
Yes, exactly.
But the thought had hit the lady when we were at dinner. She's like, "He was that old?" I was like, yeah, he would have. I was like, he was either in his late 70s or early 80s when they were recording The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he was an old dude. Because he had, I mean, that was, I guess towards the end of his career, you could say. But he was, I thought he was good in The Lord of the Rings. I mean, he's got such a, like, great voice for, like, saying those kinds of lines that it's, like, really perfect.
I can't imagine anyone else better fitting that role than Christopher Lee. And because I was looking in, but this is just a release date was 01
For the Lord of the
for
Rings.
Lord of the Rings, but they did record everything all at once and then release it.
Yeah.
So it was probably, and I don't have when.
2000 perhaps? Turn of the century.
Yeah, I mean, they probably recorded in 98, 99, or 2000, something in that area. Because
Okay.
they probably need about at least a year to edit for the most part.
That's, well,
Plus all
yeah.
the crazy CGI and everything that they added in.
True.
I'm sure that took at least a little bit of time.
Yeah, definitely. I think that they probably had less CGI in the first one because they had to kind of get it out quicker, if that makes sense.
Oh,
Because I remember it
right.
wasn't until the second one that they had like actually Gollum like on screen.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that was kind of like mind blowing for everybody to see.
Yes, that was also a fun reason to pick the precious pills, the Gollum precious
Oh
pills
my
last
God, I just
week.
realized. Well, it's not like we don't talk about Lord of the Rings on this show.
We may have mentioned J.R.R. Tolkien's estate previously,
Yes.
which was one of those factoids. Like you linked to this article about on BuzzFeed about all the stuff that Christopher Lee had done in his life, I was like, I had only gotten halfway through, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I had no idea, like, I just remembered someone saying that, like, he was just, like, a B-grade horror movie star over in England.
Mm. Well, I mean, I remember seeing him in those movies. He was kind of his big role, I guess, or he made several movies where he was playing Dracula. So, and, you know, I guess that's one thing. He always seems to play villain or to have played villains in his movies. But like, oh, I said, it was just perfect for being a villain, I think. And like, as Dracula, I mean, he's very believable, I felt like.
Yeah, and I guess I was just not familiar with any of those things. If I did watch them, I don't recall them. So
yeah, he was actually a younger man with you know, darker hair then. So he was kind of more of like the suave, you know, smooth talking Dracula kind of guy.
Yeah, which was another really honestly fascinating part of his whole story was the fact that he worked under Winston Churchill.
Oh yeah.
In the secret army.
Well, Churchill's secret army,
Special operations execution
executive. Yeah, a member of special operations executive. Okay, yeah.
So he probably hunted Nazis.
Yeah, they said he was at least briefly a Nazi hunter, and they said that in some ways he was probably a basis for James Bond because of he had some kind of relation with Ian Fleming, who was the author who wrote James Bond.
And he worked with them in the SOE.
Oh, yes. There you go.
So, yeah.
He at least lived that kind of life, you know.
Right. So he was, yeah, maybe at least a partial inspiration for James Bond.
You know what? Him as a younger man, that would have been a very interesting James Bond, I think. I don't know. That he may have, maybe could have, like, usurped Sean Connery, you know,
is the greatest Bond.
Or maybe the original, I think.
The original.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that, you know, would be a wonderful what-if type situation to visit. If Uatu the Watcher is out there and could let us know what that would be like, that'd be great. Everyone's familiar with Uatu the Watcher. I don't need to explain that.
Yes. Because I'm just going to ignore it because I don't know what it is.
Oh, man, the Watcher. He lives on the moon in Marvel Comics, and he sees everything.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, okay. I do know the Watcher now.
All right, good. Like I said, everybody knows the Watcher. We don't need to... So...
Yeah, I definitely didn't know the fancy name, but now that you set the stage, it jogged a memory.
Oh, that was
his
Christian name. Yeah, I believe he's Christian. I don't know. I guess they didn't really get into that kind of detail, but I just assumed. So, yeah, Christopher Lee, perhaps the real James Bond.
Yeah, and just this line, too, where... Peter Jackson was going to give Christopher Lee some direction in Lord of the Rings.
Crucially, this would be Saruman's death scene, which, yes, he is stabbed in the back by Wormtongue, I believe, in the movie.
Yes.
A little different than the book, but...
A little bit, yeah. And, yeah, his response was, "Have you any idea what kind of noise happens when somebody's stabbed in the back?"
Yeah.
To me, that just goes, okay.
And because I do.
Yes. <it's> the...
So I think Peter Jackson probably was a little taken back at that that response. Okay. Well, yeah, we can do that then.
So, alrighty then.
Let's get set again, and
excellent.
I think you've got, you know what you're doing. Yeah, I think directors can be a little too micromanager-y, I would say, if that's a word. And even if it's not, I'm still saying it.
Yeah, it works.
I did say it. But so pretty cool stuff. Also, he is a direct male descendant of Charlemagne, Charles the Great, the quote unquote first Holy Roman Emperor. What did I say? Holy Roman Emperor.
Well, and I wouldn't say that part is, there is no quote. He was the first Holy Roman Emperor.
I guess so, but the so-called Holy Roman Emperor, but because people like to point out.
They were not really holy at that point.
People pointed out they were not really holy Roman or an empire, so that's kind of interesting. But I think you could say that they were sort of an empire because it was like different kingdoms kind of gathered together.
Right. Yeah, I think you can get away with the kingdom part, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, so his ancestor, great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, kind of was the emperor of Europe there for a while, which is kind of interesting, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty I mean, that's always one of those things where I'd like to know more about my family history, but it really doesn't go back much further than my great-grandparents.
Yeah.
It's just like, I know they brought my, because my grandmother was actually born in Italy and came over, and I know that my grandfather on my dad's side, at least, was the first one born over here, but that's all I know about his family and, like, where they were from. Like, I know a city in Italy. That's it.
Yeah. And maybe it's easier when your family has only lived in one place for so long.
Right,
which
yeah.
Which may have happened if you live in Europe.
And I guess that's always kind of... Oh, I think I brought that point up when we were talking about the king that was just recently reburied after being found in the battlefield that was being turned into a parking lot.
Of course, longtime listeners will know we're speaking of Richard III.
Yes.
Who may or may not have murdered his nephews
in the Tower of London.
Yes. Dun, dun.
Yeah, so I guess it's always fascinating to me when somebody can trace their lineage back that far, and then to be able to pinpoint at least a name that's familiar in history is extra wild to me, because that's even further back than King Richard III.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Which I guess
a good 500 years.
They were around, like there were descendants though of his that were able to be DNA tested, I believe, right? Wasn't that how it worked out?
Yes.
In that previous episode.
Yeah, in the previous case. Yeah.
But so I would say if you were like a direct, whatever, descendant of Charlemagne, like that would probably be something your family is pretty proud of, and maybe like would be continued to pass down. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're
not running from shame like the rest of my family was. They're just trying to get out of Dodge. They're like, fuck this
trying
place.
To start a new life, yes.
That sucked. They don't need to know this history. You're great here, man.
Yeah. Some shit happened, but, you know, whatever. Hey, America. We love it here. Yeah, maybe. But that would still, I mean, in a way, that would be really super cool when you're, like, a younger kid, I would think. Like, to think that you were, like, somehow a descent, like, have royal blood or something, you know? But.
Oh.
I don't know. I could see it being, like, a kind of a teenage boy, like, fixation, maybe. At least for me, I think. If it had turned out that way.
Yeah, I guess I didn't ever dream of being a descendant of a king. I just always find the lineage thing somewhat interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's total, like, BS. Like we said, you know.
Oh, yeah, descendants aren't necessarily good leaders themselves.
Right. The, you know, rule by inheritance is not such a great system as we looked at the Roman Empire. a few episodes back. This is like a flashback episode, Kevin.
Yeah, I did not realize we had so many tie-ins.
Now that's what I call a sticky situation. That was a good one.
Oh, man. And this was kind of cool, too, about Christopher Lee, that he actually did meet J.R.R.R. Tolkien.
Oh, yeah.
Who was, he served in World War I.
Correct.
So, he would have been out of his fighting days. But, yeah, he clearly would have been around for World War II, though.
Yeah, I think Tolkien was born in, like, either 1898 or 1889. I'm not sure which makes more sense there. Because he would have to be probably 18 in 1914, or unless I'm mistaken. Anyway, someone with a calculator out there.
I'm giving it a look here for you.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I know that he... Well, another movie that he was in was an animated one that I remember from growing up called
1892.
Yes. Oh, that makes more sense. I guess I was just wait a minute. Yeah, I was pretty close to being on either side of that with that his actual date in the middle.
Yeah. 89. That worked. It's 3 years.
6 years? I think. Look, if any of our listeners have a calculator...
No, 1889 to 1892 is only a three-year swing.
Oh, that is a three-year, yeah. But I also said 98, though, so that was a six...
yeah, that's the larger gap. Ken, yeah, I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. Jeez, I try to hand you a bone, and you just...
I'm not going to... I knew that was a mouth. I knew that was a pity bone that you were trying to hand me, and I'm not going to have it.
People don't need might it. Take that one though the wrong way, Ken.
What? You were gonna hand me a pity bone. I think people know what that means. But yeah, Christopher Lee. I was saying the animated movie he was in was The Last Unicorn, which I knew that he was like a really big fan of. That was originally a book as well.
Oh, okay.
So he would like show up on the set with the book and basically say that there was lines that they had to do from the book. So he had some input into the script, it sounds like.
But, gotcha.
Yeah, that was a cool movie if people haven't checked that one out. The Last Unicorn. It was a little dark. Not for little kids, probably, but still it's pretty good.
Gotcha. Yeah, I have not checked that one out.
Yeah. I would recommend it. It's got like a music by the band America, which I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with that, but it's a kind of a real 80s like light rock soundtrack, which is kind of, you know, it's going to rub some people the wrong way probably, but I have a soft spot for it for sure.
Yeah, well, Sir Christopher Lee did not have his problems with that style of rock because... No. There was also a music video in this package because it did actually have his own heavy metal albums, including a Christmas seasonal one, which is outstanding.
I think I'm going to have to somehow set a reminder so I can listen to that this Christmas time because that just needs to happen.
Yeah, I guess I am not enough of a Christopher Lee fan to know that this was the case. And there's a very fun picture of him holding up the devil horns.
Oh, yeah, with the hand gesture.
Yeah, the hand gesture. Well, what do you think of Christopher Lee's death? That's what we have on topic right now. So that's what we're talking about.
He's actually a star in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. I figured you'd be watching NBA because LeBron James just got injured.
Oh, no. You guys, this is... This is proof that we were taping this on Thursday evening.
Yep.
This is proof that you guys are watching Lord of the Rings and not the NBA Finals with LeBron James getting injured.
It's not the last game of the NBA Finals.
And I've flipped when the commercials are on.
How many games do they play?
They're up 2-1. That's seven games.
Seven?
Yeah, it's seven games. Just like sports. Hockey.
Stupid sports. Yeah.
Seven basketball games. Is that Stanley Cup finally over?
No. It's two. Jesus. It's two games apiece.
It's summer.
They're going at least six games.
It's summer.
It's too hot for ice, right?
And there's no need for hockey to still be on. Done. It's baseball season.
If you can't play it outside, don't play it inside.
She's trying to give us a segue, Ken. She's just trying to give us a segue.
Wow. It's
only baseball season now. All other sports should be done.
Wow.
Baseball.
You have heard it here on the Ladies' Corner. TLC has made a return to the OPA.
A fiery return, I would say.
Yeah, I would say fiery return. No, so, no sports right now except for baseball.
Yeah.
It is too warm out for both basketball and hockey, so says the lady.
I would argue basketball, though, could be a summertime sport. I mean, it is pretty hot out there, but, you know... I don't know. I could see both sides, I guess.
But as you say, basketball is played inside.
Yeah, but you could also play it outside if you.
That's not pro.
Oh, but you okay? But like they could. That would be kind of cool, actually.
They like, play the like, college game has played on an aircraft carrier before, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Oh.
Like when they play that hockey game outside. Whatever hockey game that is.
The Winter Classic, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
The Winter
That's
Classic.
That's fun because it's outside. But they... other than that, I mean, hockey should not be played when summer is next Sunday. There should not be any more hockey on. It's done.
You heard it here, people.
Hockey, done. Well, it will
be... I guess that would allow the players to shave their... playoff beards, Kevin, the season was suddenly over.
It would allow them...
segue into NBC sportsman hockey players to shave their beards. Yes, you heard it here first. Franco does tell me topics.
Wow, you got the inside scoop.
I have the inside scoop.
Yes, indeed. We were, as announced, this is a segue.
Oh, man. Yes, Christopher Lee had a beard.
That's true. Who else has beards?
Very famous, I would
say. Abe Lincoln, definitely. He's got to be at the top of your list of people who have beards.
Well, Charlemagne could have been at the top of somebody's list.
That's true.
He had a beard.
That's right.
Jesus.
Oh, you went. I was just gonna get there, but you got just ahead of me. And I'll give it. I gotta tip my hat towards you. Not wearing my hat, but I'm just gonna tip it anyway. So also, Kevin, I don't know if you know this, but in the NHL, players, as a sort of superstition or a bit of playfulness,
it goes back to the New York Islander teams of the. Of the 70s, who
they grow
started
playoff
this
beards.
Tradition.
Yes.
Yep. And the top executive at NBC Sports this week.
So it's been going on since the 70s. Now,
right.
When do you think it like became super widespread that like kind of everybody does it?
Well, that's the reason I ended up with a goatee going into college. We were in the playoffs in roller hockey. In the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And I was growing my playoff beard. So
it sounds like by the mid-90s or so, this was established as a thing?
Yeah. I would say, if not before that, that was...
That's putting a floor or a ceiling on it? What am I trying to... It's a floor? No, not a floor.
Yeah, it wouldn't be any later than that. Yeah, a ceiling, I guess, would probably be the better one for that.
Yeah, so that's the limit there.
Mid-90s would be the
at
limit.
Least.
But I feel like, you know, I saw... Because I didn't start watching hockey all that longer before that, but it was, I believe it was 90 when we got cable. And Fox Sports came to the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania, and I started to watch hockey. And it happened to be a year that the Penguins won the Stanley Cup, too.
Well, that probably didn't hurt anything in terms of your hockey fandom.
But that also was when I saw playoff beards too, though.
So they were around for sure then.
Right.
As we said. But so people have had, I don't know, 25 years at least. 30 years maybe?
How long has that been? Considering we're almost 40, we're going to go with 40 years of playoff beard.
But I guess you weren't watching playoff hockey when you were born.
Correct.
So you're putting...
But this is a tradition that's as old as us. And this executive wants to get rid of it.
Yes, for marketing reasons.
For marketing reasons.
That just seems like a tough thing to try to enforce. Like, that's like an NFL-type move, it seems like to me.
Well, it does crack me up. It's not. I wouldn't say an NFL move, because they seem to let the hair and the facial hair go. Just you can't do the war paint or anything silly like that for whatever reason. Like, I mean, that makes no damn sense whatsoever. But baseball, to me, is the one that polices the most in that department. Because, and it can be just a per-team thing. Like, I know that the Yankees, you can't have facial hair. So,
mustache?
Huh?
No mustache?
Correct.
Wow.
So at some point, they, what's his name? Johnny Damon. He went from, he won a World Series with the Red Sox, and then went to the Yankees, and they made a big deal out of him. He had to cut his hair because he had this big, long hair, and shave his beard. So they made this big deal out of him doing both because he was going to the Yankees and he had to have the Yankee look. And even with, I know more recently, the Pirates don't allow you to grow a beard when you're in the minor leagues. If you're on the main roster, facial hair allowed.
I guess you have to earn the beard.
Yeah, you have to earn the beard, evidently. And one guy now...
Beards are for closers.
And I've got to say, I love it. Josh Harrison, their third baseman, he has a nice one just out to here. And he keeps it trimmed.
Let the record show, Kevin is putting his hand several inches away from his chin.
I would say it's a good foot long.
Holy moly.
It's pretty good. It's out there.
That's got to be getting a little unmanageable. Oh well, I don't know. It depends how well you take care of it, I guess.
Yeah, he looks like he takes a lot of care of it.
Brush it out and, you know, oil it and pamper your beard. Make sure you shampoo. And
maybe that's why he isn't hitting well enough. He's just taking too much
time. He's taking too long with his beard.
With his beard, can't get the batting practice
classic,
on time.
Classic tale. Yeah.
But, I mean, there are just so many iconic beards that I don't understand. There's one guy, like, even for more recently with the Penguins, when they went to the Stanley Cups, Sidney Crosby cannot grow a beard to save his life.
He tries to, though?
He tries to, and it's just horrific. just terrible.
An abomination.
Yeah. I mean, my beard looks really bushy compared to his, and that's that is not a good statement.
Gotcha.
There was one guy who I kind of laughed about, Ruslan Fedotenko, who said he grew up near Chernobyl, so he couldn't grow facial hair.
Interesting.
But I believe that was just because he didn't want to grow a beard.
Oh.
You know, it was just a joke. So,
now that's maybe in poor taste, because there are people who are, you know, have problems because of Chernobyl, but, whatever. I guess that's between, him and his countrymen.
Yeah, well, he didn't get any flack for it at the time. Maybe he'd get a little more flack for it now.
Possibly.
But I don't know. It's Russia after all.
Yeah, they got a sense of humor. So that's one thing you can say about the Russians.
But I guess I never understand why someone's suddenly unrecognizable without a beard or recognizable with a beard. I remember Sam Elliott was on this past season of Justified, he looked super weird without his mustache.
Oh.
But about three or four episodes in, it kind of, at least the complete weirdness wore off.
Yeah.
It's still a little strange to end up seeing him that way, but after a few episodes, you got used to it. So, I mean, I guess there are some, like, there's facial hair that's really iconic that can be had, and I guess I don't understand that. Like, I don't lose track of who the players are. Like, their names are on the back of their jerseys.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think there's been a sport.
Yeah.
Like, all sports look better, but I will still say that hockey got the most out of the jump to HD. Because they do move fast, so it is a little bit harder to see stuff sometimes. And jersey names is another one where they're not. Sometimes in football, teams don't have names on it. Sometimes baseball, the Yankees don't have names on their jerseys. Because it's about the team, not the player.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think it's like a fun thing that like people can get into, you know, like it just, and the players get into it, you know, obviously. So like if the players are happy, I think that's going to make for a better game. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But
I think most people believe that these are all grown gentlemen and they can do as they please.
Yeah, it's not like they're trying to, you know, not wear face masks for goalies or anything crazy.
Yeah, they're not trying to put on spiked shoulder pads. You know, it's never anything completely ludicrous.
Not doing anything that's in any way reminiscent of the Road Warriors.
Right.
That is clear out, as they said in Monty Python. So, you know, I guess we're coming down, and there's just something so crass about like the network executive who is trying to get ratings saying that they should stop doing something that they like, you know, it just is such a,
and it's just kind of their ratings are actually doing well for the most part. I mean, it helps that Chicago is pulling in a ginormous audience.
Yeah.
And I have been watching the games when I've gotten the chance. I've seen parts of all four games so far, yeah. Mm.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think seasoned fans, people know what it's about. They know the playoff beard, so I don't think it loses anyone's focus. Like, even a casual fan, I would say, knows what's going on at this point. Like, they've seen that on SportsCenter at some point.
I mean, I guess you have to believe that the players would look better without beards. Like, that is his reasoning, I guess.
Hence, moral audience.
And or, you know.
He did say that was clearly his thinking. So, I mean, it wasn't like he was hiding what he, you know, his mm-hmm. line was. So, I mean, at least he's being upfront.
Oh, no,
about
he's
what,
totally out on Front Street there. I mean, he's not holding back.
I think he's an idiot for being out on Front Street. But, you know, if you're going to own it, just go for it. Don't, like, leak the news or something.
Yeah.
Just take the beating yourself if you want to take the beating.
Yeah, which, you know, I think he kind of is in some ways, probably.
Yeah, because I think in general everyone has made fun of him at this juncture. Like, I don't think we're breaking any ground.
You know, I guess the real question is why the heck would he put this out here to the public? You know, it's such a, like, what good does it do? It's I think acknowledged that no one was going to pay any attention to what he had to say.
That kind of was the other funny thing about the situation. He's like, I know no one's, like, I have no power over them to make this decision.
And I
don't think any of the players are going to go, oh, he thinks this is a good idea? Then, yeah, I mean,
we
got to
shave these off.
Yeah, I got to shave this off.
Guys, we all have to shave.
I can't wait, because it would just be funny, because there are all a bunch of dumb superstitions, And I don't know if they exist in basketball or baseball.
I think in general athletes are kind of have a reputation for being superstitious a little bit.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking in hockey, it's you're not supposed to touch the conference championship because they give out an actual award for it. And no one ever, people aren't supposed to touch it. It's supposed to be bad luck, but it was funny because Crosby didn't touch it. Sidney Crosby of the Penguins didn't touch it the first year they won the conference finals. But then they lost in the Stanley Cup finals. So the next year he picked it up and he just kind of picked it up for a second, held it over his head and put it down real quick. So, I mean, he didn't, like, celebrate with it, really. But they ended up winning the Stanley Cup that year.
Oh, so maybe he was trying to reverse jinx there.
Yeah, but I did see earlier this year, both Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Toews did not touch said trophies this year.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, it's an ongoing tradition. It'd be like, oh, I need it. Would he ever go, I need a better shot of this guy with this trophy? Like, we've got to force them to stop doing this stupid thing. Because, I mean, that really is stupid. Whether you pick up that trophy or not does not determine whether you're going to win the Stanley Cup Finals. Just like,
well, I don't know. I mean,
like fans having their favorite shirts and whether people win or their team wins or loses with it. It's a bunch of hokum.
The fan thing, I guess, you know, there's really no evidence that people's, unless you're, you know, going to somehow draw a reference to quantum mechanics and action at distance, you know, where you could have quantum entanglement, you know, if there's some kind of, you know, something like that, you know, quantum entanglement that goes on between a player on the field and somebody fan watching at home, it's not been documented, so I think it would be pretty reckless to assume that for right now. But but the player himself doing or not doing something stupid, I mean, if that like sticks in his mind somehow and like psych himself out maybe and not play his best or her best. It's like the placebo effect or the opposite of that, maybe. or a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know.
Right. Yeah, it could get in your own head. Mm-hmm. I could see that as an argument.
And I think that's probably why the athletes do the superstition. Like, well, I don't know. It looks like it didn't help LeBron here, but he looked like he was injured tonight. But he does that thing with the chalk before the game, you know.
Oh, right.
So it's like the whole idea of like doing the same stuff, you know, every game day. I think I've heard a lot about athletes having like a set schedule, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's kind of what they go through in general.
Yes. Well, and you did mention the female gender of athletes.
That's right.
And they have been in the news also this week.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been talking a lot about FIFA, so...
Hey, yeah.
There's also, it turns out, the Women's World Cup, FIFA World Cup, is underway.
Yes. The United States played on Tuesday, I do believe. Yeah, because did the men... Or they play... Shit, I'm trying to think of which day because I'm mixing it up with the men's team.
The men's team played as well. I thought I heard that they had played a pretty good game though.
Yeah, they beat Germany 2-1, but really it's an exhibition game.
Yeah,
wasn't that whatever. Glad they won. Not exactly going to go sing on top of Saruman's tower about the victory.
Nothing to shout from the top of Orthanc. I hear you.
Right. there were, and I had honestly forgotten about this, that the women from several countries joined together to sue FIFA because they did not want to play on turf. Yes. Because of how much damage it does to their bodies.
Artificial turf, yeah.
Yeah, and I do not blame them. I feel like this that I brought this up before on another show somewhere, but we used to have artificial turf on our field that we used in high school for gym class when we had gym outside. And just playing flag football, you get tripped up and you fall onto that stuff. It's a rough fall.
Yeah, I mean, and it's almost like sandpaper, you know. It's a terrible idea to play on.
Right. And I was pretty interested in this article that Canada didn't want to use anything else because, and I do understand this, that some of the turfs that use the ground-up rubber have been linked to cancer studies.
Mm, yeah.
So that was the one reason they didn't link them, but it was or that they didn't want to use those types of field. But a lot of places use the field turf, which is part artificial and part real.
Yeah.
Now, which seems to be the majority of stadiums, really in the NFL now.
Yeah. I think it has become, but I don't know if they use some of that rubber in there or not, because I know at times, I don't know if I've really noticed recently, but I've definitely noticed like rubber flying up in the air before when I've been watching the NFL, you know, NFL players running. But now that I think about it, maybe not as much anymore.
Yeah, well, I think it's more limited to the indoor stadiums now.
Hmm.
At least the full-on ones.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then you have people like the Steelers still sporting the real grass turf. Which is what the ladies were looking for in this situation, too.
Well, I think that would be the ultimate surface to play on, as far as I can figure out. I mean...
Yeah, I do not think that any of the... well... None of the pitches for the Men's World Cup were on artificial turf.
No. And I think people would have been pretty pissed if they were. So this is, you know, we didn't talk about some of Sepp Blatter's comments about the, you know, women's soccer players saying that they should be wearing shorter shorts to get better attention. Was... you know, obviously he's not necessarily looking to promote it.
No, he is not Dana White promoting Ronda Rousey as one of the greatest fighters in MMA right now and capitalizing on the woman gravy train.
Yes. And I mean, I guess there's not a, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not like a women's MLS in this country, is there?
I believe they started a very small league last year, like a 6 or 8 league, team league.
Hmm. Okay. Because...
It was fairly recent, and I can't say I paid much attention to it.
Yeah. Not getting a lot of attention. And right. I think that happens with the WNBA as well. Like, it's hard for them to kind of get any traction against the men's... sport, you know?
Right.
But I was sitting here thinking tonight, Kevin, and I think I have a solution for this dilemma. Because damn it, people should you know, women deserve to have people interested in their sports. And just because they're just starting out with their leagues now, like they're competing against these well-developed leagues, it seems to me that a solution might be, like, you know, let's say you want to increase a sport like soccer's appeal in general. It's growing in popularity, but what if you were to do something crazy like have a men's and women's team from the same city and then they can, like, the points that they win, the women win can, like, help the men somehow for, like, playoff spots or something, or they can, like, both play for a championship somehow. Like, this is still in the early stages here. I'm just spitballing here.
Are you trying to develop a... the college has that now, but I feel like they do it with grades thrown in there, too, where it's like the college bowl series or something like that, where it counts all the different sports, and they grade out how good all the schools are, and they give them some type of weird ranking.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's exactly what I'm thinking of. Because it would be like, oh, so you're saying like all, like they're, oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, maybe there'd be some kind of trophy or something for like having the best men's combined men's and women's team in the league.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's what I was getting at. You know, they get some type of additional prize as the top, the best, the highest winning percentage teams in the city.
Or the city gets the, you know, the credit.
Yeah, or the team, yeah. The teams get the money and they get to split it or whatever, whether it's, you know, the Cavs and whoever play in the female Clevelanders.
But I don't know. I feel like that would have a lot of appeal for people and kind of make the women's games more meaningful if they can and some, you know, impact what's going on with the men's team as well.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
It's like you got to be a team or something. I don't know.
I guess that people might construe that as insulting to the women that they need to be tied to the guys to become popular.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it would be really interesting. And maybe it makes sense economically, because, you know, they already have a stadium, and I don't know how that would work, but that's just my two cents to perhaps solve this issue.
Well...
Because it's like, you don't want to, like, dilute the soccer love in your town, necessarily, I feel like. So, like, somehow tying it together makes more sense to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, how do we get on, I mean, I know we were talking about...
We're talking about women's soccer, the World Cup.
The leagues. Yeah. But I don't even know where
I guess
the
I'm saying
women's
like,
teams are, though. Like, I'm not sure that there's a Columbus team.
Right. So I guess they would need to kind of expand out to all the cities that have...
MLS teams. But I feel like they did the smart thing and they kept them geographically somewhat close. You know, like Philly, New York, Boston, D.C., you know, things that are within a train ride of each other.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm just looking up the women's soccer. It's the National Women's Soccer League. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, we got Kansas City. Interesting.
Oh.
Dash, Texas. Oh, no. The Dash. I guess that's just what they're called. One's in Texas. One's in Chicago. One is in, it looks like, Buffalo. And... maybe around the Philadelphia area?
Yeah, Chester.
Then around D.C.? Yeah, D.C. has a team. And then the Boston Breakers, it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah, so they don't even have the MLS team. Maybe has, D.C. Boston does not have an MLS team. They do. New England Revolution.
Now, see, they play at Harvard Stadium in Boston. I wonder where the Boston MLS team plays.
They play in Foxborough.
Oh, interesting. Then there's the Chicago Red Stars. Ooh, Chicago plays in the stadium there has a capacity of 3,000 people.
That's pretty small.
For Chicago, I would say so. That's Kansas City is the same size stadium.
Yeah, well, they're playing at venues much smaller than Moffray Stadium here in the fine city of Columbus.
Yeah, I haven't been to that stadium recently. You said that they got a new, TV, or not TV, but...
Yeah, new scoreboard last year, which is quite fancy. They upgraded a lot of things these last couple of years.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
And people are kind of freaking out because there might not be a gold jersey next year.
Might not be a gold jersey?
Yeah, that's been a big talking point this week also, at least here in town.
Oh, local news.
And local breaking news. Like, it's been an all breaking news kind of episode, Ken.
Wait, so they're not going to have, the crew is not going to have a gold jersey next year?
Yes, they have become synonymous for the most part of, to the point where some of the supporters, the Nordeca, as they call it here, is they sing Yellow Submarine from the Beatles all the time.
Oh,
so because of the yellow outfits that the crew has traditionally worn for quite some time at this point.
Right, right. I don't know where the submarine comes in, but I guess...
Well, the yellow part is all that matters to them, Ken.
The yellow part, for sure, I got it. Although, technically, not yellow. I believe their colors are black and gold.
Yeah, they should be black and yellow. Honestly, they have the opposite problem of the Steelers and the Pirates, where they call it black and gold, and it's not really gold. It's really yellow.
What problem do the Steelers and Pirates have? Do they call it black, but it's not really black?
No. Hold on. The crew, the Pirates, and the Steelers all have the same problem. It's not really gold.
Oh, okay.
Because I would definitely agree with the Yellow Submarine more than, you know, they do say black and gold. All of them say black and gold. None of them have actual gold. Penguins, only one with gold.
Are you saying it should have some luster like gold? Is that your problem here?
Yes. It needs to have... Well, and gold is not yellow. It has maybe a little bit of a hint of an orange in it, in my humble opinion.
No, I understand.
Maybe a little bit, a little bit of a turn towards a white in there, too, so that the orange is a little washed out.
Okay.
Along with the yeller. That's, that gets me a little more towards a gold than feel like the Steelers, because the yellow that the crew uses is definitely different than the yellow that the Steelers and the Pirates use.
Yeah, it's a very bright, it is a very bright color.
Yeah, it's a very banana yellow, as most people would probably identify it. It's more of, a very light and bright yellow. The Steelers, I guess that they are a little, the Steelers and the Pirates maybe are a little bit closer to gold, because they do have just a touch of orange in there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But it doesn't have any luster like like the Penguins.
No, I think that would be pretty great if the Steelers would adopt like a luster to their uniform.
Go third jersey with a little luster on it.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty badass. So I don't know if Mike Tomlin is a listener or not, but if so, he should probably make that happen for next season.
Yeah, he really should listen to this podcast. I mean, it should be mandatory listening.
Yeah, I think it's probably something that they have playing in the locker room. A lot of times the whole team will be able to hear it that way.
Yep, I mean, they play in Ohio and Pennsylvania at least 8 and 10 times every year?
Yeah, in the OPA region.
Yeah, in the OPA region. So they have plenty of time to listen.
Yeah, there's not really an excuse. So
no. And there is no excuse for me, since we're keeping up with current topics for this show.
Mm.
To not mention the very unfortunate passing of one Dusty Rhodes, also known in the real world as Virgil Runnels. A bit younger than Christopher Lee, maybe not quite the resume either.
He was not a Nazi hunter.
No, not a Nazi hunter. He was the son of a plumber.
Well, was the plumber named Joe, by any chance?
The great-grandson of a ditch digger.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He's an all-American boy.
So he made his way up from, you know, his family made their way up from the being ditch diggers to plumbers to wrestlers.
Yep.
That is the American dream.
World champion.
There you go.
American dream, Dusty Rhodes. 69 years young. Unfortunately passed away today, as I was kind of telling you before. Or no, hold on, I wasn't telling you. I was just talking to the lady about it earlier. Just very influential. Like, I saw his worst time period for the most part, which was his tail end of his WCW run and then his dreaded run in the WWF, in which he had to wear polka dots that were black and gold, or black and yellow, along with his large black valet sapphire.
Well, speaking of black and gold, was that his son who was Goldust?
Yes, Goldust was indeed his.
It's a guy who knows the value of some luster, I gotta say.
Yes, he does know the value of some luster.
He is definitely not confused with yellow dust.
No. That is definitely gold dust. he made no mistakes about that.
So was he the son of the American Dream?
Yes.
So they went from, okay, let's work this out. Start out as ditch diggers, move up to plumbers. Yep. Then you become the world champion of the wrestling.
Yep.
And then you're gold dust.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the more iconic characters of the, mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
He was kind of that groundbreaking, weird, freaky guy. People try to reproduce now, but, people have seen too many of the freaky guys to be that kind of weirded out by the whole situation.
Yeah. Well, it is maybe something that people would have been more shocked of. Yeah, definitely back in the 90s when he was around. But I guess it's like totally the opposite of the regular, you know, American kind of image that his father had.
Yes, it was quite the departure.
Not just a regular Joe.
Yeah.
Even though he's the grandson of a plumber.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes, or Dusty, I'm going all over the place because it's Dustin Runnels.
Dustin Runnels, okay. So that's the dust, the gold dust, right?
I don't know if that's probably.
Oh my god, we figured it out.
I've never really looked into the etymology of his name.
Yeah, I'm sure there is an etymology somewhere.
Honestly, like, the time that he was really big, like, the time period that he was groundbreaking, I was still not quite watching wrestling again yet. Gotcha. But he had become quite a bit of a staple by the time I started watching.
That's pretty cool.
So that would have been late 90s.
Yeah, so 69, I mean, definitely he held in there a lot longer than some of the other recent wrestler deaths that we've seen. So
yeah, but unfortunately, like the really, really famous guys that helped set up the profession are unfortunately going by the wayside slowly. Because and this is the other thing, and I didn't realize this either, that Ric Flair wanted to come in to the one territory as Dusty Rhodes' brother, younger brother.
When that, was this?
Like the 70s, early 70s.
So he wanted to without permission?
No, his storyline was going to be that his suggested storyline at the time.
Oh, okay.
Was that he would be introduced as Dusty Rhodes' brother.
Okay.
Vern Gagne, the booker of the territory, decided that that was a terrible plan.
Gotcha.
Which worked out okay for Ric Flair.
Yeah, I think he did well for himself.
Yeah, he did just fine for himself. Thank you very much.
So tonight's Sippy Time beer is from Mount Carmel Brewing Company in Cincinnati. Maybe sometimes we don't think of it as being in the OPA region, but I would say it's in the region. I'm trying the India Pale Ale. Kevin has the brown nut. Was that
nut brown ale?
Nut brown. There we go.
Yeah, I could not remember if I had a amber on the show previously, because I got this when I went on the little site visit. I was hoping to get to the brewery itself. Didn't get the chance because they weren't open.
Bummertown.
Yeah, I got my work done too quickly. That was the problem. Yeah, nut brown, very tasty, a nice sweet, you know, low sweet maltiness to it. It's very tasty.
Yeah, I enjoyed this as well. It reminded me a little bit of, I think, the first round of beer that you made at home. It has a little bit of a similar flavor to me.
Oh, the IPA does?
There's something about it, yeah.
Huh. I don't know. Considering they are different styles, that is interesting.
Well, I'm an interesting guy. What can I say? I make interesting comments.
Well, if you want more interesting comments, you can tune into at Gozer33, or at DeFrango11, or at StuntGranny. Yes, and check out, if you haven't already, because it's below this post, or beside this post, Eric's write-up on Dusty Rhodes, which was quite excellent.
Cool.
Mr. Nelson, thank you for your time, and fans, thank you for your ears.